Hey, welcome to the Saving the Dolphins. I am your host, Dave Kenny, here with super, super special guest, super permanent guest, Mike Mercadal.
Hey, everybody. What am I? I think at this point, I'm no longer super. I'm extraordinary.
Oh, my God.
I am superb.
Yeah.
Special guest.
Yeah. Could not be more special.
I could
all the time.
No, the idea the fact that you still treat me like a guest is very polite. You don't have to do that.
Look, this is a show about manners. It's a show about being polite.
If anything, that's what you could call this show. This show is about manners. This show is about not Dolphins football. It's about educating people on some manners.
Hey, we don't have to choose. We can do a lot of things at the same time. This week,
things can be two things.
You know, this off season, first off, if you listen to last week's episode, we did not. So we...
I published
the episode, and if you haven't listened, it's dolphins that you would want in a fight. And one of the people, I think you named them, but if you hadn't, I would have.
Yeah, he was definitely coming up.
Richie Incognito, because of his bullying and
his mental fight game.
And yeah, I also I mentioned some stuff about Jonathan Martin. I mean, there's nothing that I said about Jonathan Martin that was, I feel like, factually inaccurate. But what I didn't fully realize was that he was going to
go crazy.
Yeah, I don't think I
fucking posted a gun with names on it. Like he scrawled it on the barrel of the gun. He did the Instagram story version of scrawling a name on a bullet.
Yeah.
In like an old Wild West movie. One
of
them movie.
Was like the name of his high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clearly so. This kid, I mean, we spoke about the whole bullying thing and how it came to, like, it's one of those things that happens, you know, to a certain degree.
Sure.
Beyond the acceptable range. Yes. I've heard of some horrible hazing stories and some things that just went way too far.
Sure.
And when the whole Incognito bullying thing came out, I genuinely was like, this is this happens. The fact that the guy that you know, like, using the N-word and stuff like that and going racial with it can be viewed, you know, like, but everyone was doing that to this poor guy,
and again,
and he never stood up for himself. And now we see that it was because of some more deep seated mental issues.
And to be crystal clear, like, if you haven't listened to the episode, our underlying point the whole time is Richie Incognito, world-class asshole, not someone you would ever want to hang out with in a million years. Definitely just know that we didn't, the same day we published the episode.
Yeah.
I mean, literally within hours, he posts that. Then, like, he's in custody. Now he's getting some well-needed mental
therapy,
help.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, so...
Yet another testament to the superpower precognition that happens on this goddamn show.
Fans of the show will remember earlier in the season, we forced a hurricane onto
Tampa. We made that happen.
It's with a heavy heart.
With a heavy heart, we revealed Lawrence Timmons's. No, what was the other thing that we predicted? That it literally happened right after we were. What was it?
Fuck,
I can't remember.
So many.
Yeah, there's been a bunch of them. Like, little things were. Oh, like the Jay Ajayi trade.
Yeah.
We were talking about how he was like a bad, like maybe he doesn't fit into the thing. And then boom, they traded him. And we were like, oh, shit.
Speaking of the Jay Ajayi trade, speaking of trades in general.
Oh, yeah, we got a lot to talk about here.
See, here's the thing. In the offseason, like, normally we're doing lists, we're doing all this other shit. What we don't expect is a ton of actual news, but buckle up, because this week we got some.
We got actual news.
We signed a two-time Pro Bowler, Robert Quinn, from the Rams. And what's interesting about it, I remember last year during the draft, it was like, which way are we going to go? We have so many needs, offensive line, an obvious need, all this other stuff. Then Charles Harris, pass rusher. And you're like, okay,
fine.
Not the biggest need that off the top of my head, but okay. Yeah, I guess we can go that direction. Right now, we signed Andre Branch to a huge contract. Huge for him. I mean, I think he's getting over $10 million a season,
and for his position. And
so he's getting over $10 million. I think it's 11. I don't have the number off the top of my head.
I don't know the specific.
But he's being paid very well. Right. Cameron Wake is due to make, I think, $8.6 million. And now we're adding Robert Quinn, who's scheduled to get like $11 million in that ballpark. In addition to Ndamukong Suh, who's like close to 20.
Yeah.
This D line is stacked.
Is there anything more Miami than buying things that you don't have the money for?
Oh,
it fits. It's on brand. Miami is full of $100,000 cars where people park it on the front lawn of their dad's house
in Liberty City.
Miami is chock full of people spending money on things that you can't afford.
Yeah, and that's the problem. So right now, what's so funny is like they upped every year they're going to up the salary cap and stuff. So like a lot of teams like have a certain amount of salary cap space.
Right.
The Dolphins, as you stated in true Miami style, already, I believe, $19 million overdrawn on our account.
Oh, yeah. Like there is no way that we can afford all this stuff. Like we are so over the cap that we could fit like three more players just in what we're over in the cap.
Yeah. One of the things that's interesting about this Quinn trade. So Robert Quinn, two Pro Bowl seasons, then he's been injured a lot. Last season he was playing in a 3-4 trying to play as a linebacker, which isn't really a natural position for him. Right. He's coming back to like a 4-3, which is a better fit for him. So, you know, young dude, I think it's like 27, 28. There's a great chance that he can succeed in the team. I'm obviously afraid that we're going to lose Cameron Wake or that they're going to cut someone to like make room for him in that way.
Oh man, if we cut hurt. We all know my love for Cameron Wake. That would hurt my heart if we got rid of him and not like Jarvis. I would rather lose Jarvis Landry. I understand there are arguments to be made, but also like as a person, like
the Jarvis thing. I mean, we'll definitely get to that. Just on the defensive line though, one of the tricky things too is that William Hayes, mermaid believing, dinosaur denying William Hayes.
He's not a flat earther, right?
He's
got to be close.
I mean,
it's got to be. He's got to be.
Where do you draw the
there.
Line?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I would love if like you ask him about that and he's like insulted. like he's like, how dare you?
What? I'm not a fucking retard. And
come on.
What? What? You just said the thing about dinosaurs.
He's like, there's a lot of evidence for mermaids. So the thing is, on a defensive line, it's cool to have pass rushing specialists, obviously. And I think most of the good teams have at least three. Normally, two outside and one inside. Inside, obviously, we're covered with Cameron Wake. I guess last season they had already run some defensive packages where they'd put substitute some defensive ends in at tackle for these passes. The thing is, when you're running these pass rushing heavy passes, for one thing, those packages are most useful when you have a lead,
right?
Which didn't come up a ton.
If you don't have the offense to put you in the lead,
one of the toughest things that our team struggled with is against the run, and we. Yeah. Season before last, we were one of the worst in the league. Last season, we got marginally better, but it's still kind of a struggle. William Hayes was the dude who kind of set the edge. So in the defense, you have like the pass rushing defensive end, but like Cameron Wake, for instance, is an amazing pass rusher, has never been particularly great against the run or setting the edge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is fine. Cause
that's his job.
Yeah. I mean, it's like getting on like tight ends, like Jimmy Graham for not being great blockers, you know,
it's like a specialty position in what's not normally known as a specialty position.
Yeah. The problem is if we're not playing with gigantic leads, which
Our offense makes it seem
you need a defensive end who can set the edge. Robert Quinn he's another pass rushing specialist, but the problem is all these people, Charles Harris is definitely a pass rushing specialist, undersized, if anything, played, was probably a little bit better suited to be a linebacker in a 3-4 than a defensive end.
Physically.
Yeah. So definitely size wise, he's definitely in the same mold as Cameron Wake.
Sure.
Andre Branch is another kind of pass rushing dude. I mean, I guess out of all these people, I guess he seems like the dude who would be kind of setting the edge, like the against the run. But again, it's,
well, we're talking an awful lot about like defense building, but you know, like you can't, the defense has to be there to, like you say, play when we're playing in from a lead.
Yeah.
I think maybe if I'm trying to psychoanalyze decisions made by the front office,
put them on the couch.
But what if, you know what I mean? Like we do need depth, you know, like we need bodies. Again, we're pulling, you know, like older players. We're not getting like, you know, or sure, more experienced players. I don't want to say, but people who are like, for some reason, having an injury is like prerequisite to come to the Dolphins. You know what I mean? Like we're getting like injured guys hoping that they'll recover. You know what I mean?
I mean, those are typically the people that you're getting through trades.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, and if you look at the people that we've gotten through trades, with the exception of Kenny Stills, which is a trade that definitely worked out for us.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, like the rest of the players that we've gotten through trade, like there's not a whole lot of success stories. And
I'll tell you what, one of the main reasons, and it's like a domino effect of like being mediocre, is that we're not getting the picks that we need.
Sure.
Well, you know, so we're forced to go through trade. We're forced to pick up, you know, like lame dogs, you know, we're like, we are the three-legged dog of the NFL.
That's actually an interesting one. The JJ trade, obviously we've talked to death. One of the interesting things, Armando Sergero brought this up in a column. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting point, is what we traded to get Robert Quinn was a fourth round pick. Now, granted, we traded our fourth round pick, not the fourth round pick we got from the Eagles, which is yes, a lower one, obviously, because I don't remember exactly how they finished the season, but I feel like they did pretty well.
They did all right.
Yeah. So, but the thing is, we had the extra fourth round pick because of the JHI trade. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a lower fourth round pick that we're trading. And I guess we swapped six round picks, which is,
yeah, those are like, again, bodies.
Not a giant deal one way or the other.
Right, right.
I mean, essentially, it's close to being us trading Jay Ajayi at his rookie contract for Robert Quinn and his $11 million contract. And if you look at that, it's... What? Here's the thing, we've shit on the JJ trade so much, and that it wasn't
that we got rid of getting rid of JJ. I understand if he wouldn't have
not getting more for him.
Exactly. That's sure. Really the problem. Like it seemed like a very knee jerk, like first offer deal, you know, like whatever.
Sure.
You know, get rid of, you know, like when you don't want to even want to negotiate, you're just like, I'll pay full price. I don't care.
Sure.
You know, that's what it felt like. So I understand that. But realistically, like the fourth round pick, now we're getting, what's his name? The guy you just said.
Oh, Robert Quinn.
Robert Quinn.
Yep.
And we're getting him. And yeah, it's just like a weird strategy. Like it's hard to make sense of all of this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Again, there's always information. There's volumes of information that we don't know.
Sure.
Being from the outside, even these reporters have no idea, you know, like there's just a lot of inside baseball. I don't know. Inside football going on.
Sure.
But you know what I mean? Like there's just a lot that we don't know. And then it just trying to, like, if you try to make sense of the Dolphins front office decisions, it's like the Beautiful Mind scene where he's just drawing shit on a mirror, like on a window. Like I, there's nothing that makes sense.
And we've talked about this before. I think that when you have a front office that has a track record of doing positive things, you're like, who knows why Belichick's doing it, but I mean,
right,
because the ends
justify the means.
My silly child brain is playing checkers when he's playing chess, and it's like Dolphins, like I don't even think they're playing tiddlywinks. Like
yeah, the Dolphins are playing chutes and ladders, and someone landed on the chute, and oh, I gotta fall all the way back down. Oh no. Yeah. It's just it feels like you don't trust in there. Everything's trepidatious. everything's like, well, what does this mean? What does this mean? What you read?
Mad trepidatious.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
It's a great name for this. It's a great name for this episode.
Mad trepidatious. Hell yeah.
But I think that that's the problem is, I mean, most of the teams that are overdrawn on salary are teams that are successful that are,
yep.
So I mean, teams that are shitty, like the Browns have like all this cap space because, you know, they're a terrible team. And that's what you're saying, like this whole like beautiful mind thing or not less than beautiful mind, in the Dolphins case.
It's more like,
I think it's
more like the dude from Hangover when they show him looking at all the cards and stuff like that. And he's like doing the dumb math on the thing.
Yeah,
it's more him than beautiful mind.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was the Ringer. Someone wrote this article about just kind of how weird and fucked the Dolphins personnel situation is, just in that, like, normally you're headed in one direction or the other, you know, like you're in rebuild mode where it's like, And that's where the Dolphins were. The Dolphins, they kind of joked about it being Dolphins U, of like having this big youth movement
right
on the team.
But
Robert Quinn is a big move in the opposite direction. And that's the thing with this team is that it's like, when you're making all these personnel moves, you either are doing it with this idea that you're a couple players away from making a deep run in the playoffs, or you realize that you're nowhere close to that, so you need to rebuild from the bottom up and like understand that it's going to be a couple years project. And the problem is the Dolphins have always kind of split the difference, which is why the Dolphins always stay at like,
you mean literally splitting the difference between winning and losing, winning and losing record, literally just 50-50,
7-9, 8-8, 6-10,
500 average. Yeah. Yeah. That's where we're at, guys. I think, before we were looking at they've been talking to quarterbacks nonstop.
Sure.
So this is a whole other side of the coin.
Yeah.
Like, forget about the, you know, like a defensive end or like, you know, a linebacker or whatever. We're talking about the fucking quarterback, and they've touted Ryan Tannehill's our starter for next year.
Sure.
Ryan Tannehill, starter.
Yep.
But they've been talking to Baker Mayfield. They've been talking to Lamar Jackson. They've been talking to a bunch of people. And then it's like, what are you doing? You know, like, pull a new guy, throw him to the wolves. What do we have to lose? If we suck, we get a better pick next year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, this draft is supposed to be specifically pretty deep at quarterback.
Yeah, it's true.
And, I mean, the reality is, I mean, Brian Tannehill, I mean, I guess it's going to be like 21 months since he's thrown like an NFL pass.
Exactly. Yeah.
And he's not getting any younger. And I mean, he had been looking good before he got injured and then before he got re-injured.
Knee injuries in sequential years and subsequent years, you know, like bang, bang.
Yeah. I mean, I've said this. I mean, Adam Gase was on a record, even like before all this happened, saying if it was up to him, he would draft a quarterback every year. And I mean, you kind of see, well, the Chiefs.
What does that mean?
Well, I mean, the Chiefs, they had Alex Smith, and then they drafted, I don't remember the dude they drafted, but then they were able to trade Alex Smith.
Right. I see what you're saying. Is that what he means, though?
But the reality, like, Patriots have like a pretty good situation in quarterback and have, over the years though, I mean, whether it was like Matt Cassel and then later being able to get a first round pick for him in a trade.
That's true.
Or I think Ryan Mallett actually went in free agency, but Garoppolo, they were able to get like a high pick for.
Yeah.
I mean, you have even teams that have a settled quarterback situation, like, if you, even teams that have Tom Brady still are using second round picks on quarterbacks. So like this idea that like that the Dolphins having a tough time.
I really am. How do I open this?
Lefty Lucy.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
You tightened it too much with your super strong forearms.
Yeah.
No worse. You hear that, listeners? Dave Kinney, super strong forearms.
Yeah. I paid him. We worked this in specifically.
You do. All you do is those like like hinge forearm workout things like
need some help, young man.
I open pickle jars for everyone. Yeah.
I'd be happy to help.
I forgot. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to derail the thing.
No, it's But I've definitely heard some people being like kind of, I mean, you have like reactionary fans who every year, like, quarterback has like one rough season and they're immediately like, we got to draft another quarterback in the first round. The reality with Ryan Tannehill is he's fine. He's not nearly as good as Alex Smith is and was. I mean, I always said that was the ceiling was Alex Smith.
Best case scenario, Alex Smith.
And the fact is he's never really even reached Alex Smith level.
No.
And a team that had Alex Smith drafted a quarterback.
Ryan Tannehill as he had flashes of talent and flashes of leadership also. Sure. Like that aspect of it can't be ignored. Yep. Like he had aspect of like when they were running that no huddle, like two seasons ago, you know, like they were running that no huddle and they were getting, it looked like he had kind of a commanding choreography of what was going on.
Sure.
He was calling plays at the line and he was doing, you know, our version of the Omaha Peyton Manning or whatever the fuck. And it looked like he was really coming into his own and then he gets hurt.
Yeah.
And then, And we made it to the playoffs. We did, you know, it's like a weird thing of that leadership quality should not be ignored. Now, if any of these young cats can come in and have any semblance of like rallying around the new guy, that I feel would be better than people always questioning Tannehill every game, whether or not his knee's going to explode.
Yeah. And if I like that they're doing their due diligence with all the quarterbacks, sitting down with them, seeing all the film, all the other stuff. Gase's whole thing is supposed to be being a quarterback guru. The reality is, I mean, if the team chokes, if it goes shitty, then it's going to be a clean sweep anyway. Right. Front office and coaching staff. So yeah, I mean, if he sees a quarterback that he believes in, I mean, I think that we should definitely go. We have the 11th pick because we were such a shitty team. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if we can move up and get a quarterback that he believes in, then awesome. I mean, like either taking him at 11th or even if it's like moving up, if they really believe in like a Josh Rosen or
right.
one of these other people, I'm all for it on that side. But yeah, I mean, it's so quarterback situation. I like that they're doing all this due diligence, whether they ultimately go quarterback or not. I definitely like that they're doing all their homework just because the reality is you see plenty of shitty teams. I mean, you look at like the way the Colts did during the seasons where Andrew Luck was healthy, where like the entire team was shit and it's basically like one dude.
Right. Keeping it all together.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the difference a quarterback can make in the NFL.
And I'll tell
you, hot take, quarterback, important position.
Yeah. Wait, you're telling me.
Yeah. It's a good thing we're both sitting down already. For my shockingly hot takes. Yeah.
That was some John Madden level.
Red hot out of the oven.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the quarterback's an important position in the NFL.
If you don't have sometimes a good quarterback can make a difference.
You want to move the ball down the field, you're going to need someone to throw it sometimes. Or hand it to someone who can run it.
Eventually someone's got to call the play and that guy's the quarterback.
Yeah.
It's like,
say what you want.
The truth is, of these quarterbacks,
yeah,
who do you think? I mean, Baker Mayfield has been the one that I keep talking about because he kind of everything has been leaning towards that he wants to go to Miami.
I mean, I think that
it would be a show.
His personality type
fits.
I mean,
so much. I hate to admit that it fits, but it totally fucking does.
The Dolphin soap opera where we got an offensive line coach who does cocaine. Where
sending videos of him doing cocaine to his mistress.
Yeah.
That was to the impress best
her.
Part. Yeah, to impress her. In doing cocaine in the office.
Oh, yeah.
There was a lot to unpack in that one. Oh, my God.
So funny.
But yeah, the idea that he kind of has this, I don't want to say he's overconfident for sure.
Yeah.
And he's got a little bit of the douchey side, the big back talk. You know, he's got, I would like to frame it as passion. He has passion in his abilities. I'm not saying he's cocky. I'm saying he's passionate in his abilities.
Yeah. I mean, you take someone like that and you move them from Oklahoma to Miami. What's the worst that could happen?
The worst case scenario. Come on, break it down for us. Like, oh, he does cocaine and then he dies. Oh, well.
Like, what's the worst that could happen? You're like, does cocaine and dies. Well, I didn't think it was going to go there.
I meant in terms of football. I thought we were just going to lose, but no, he's going to die. Yeah, no, it could be him. I mean, it depends on like, but everybody that the Dolphins meet with, they're all like, yeah, they had a great meeting. I'm like, sure. They can't all have been super optimistic.
I think one of the toughest things about drafting a quarterback too is I think so many of the positions, like if you draft like a left tackle and they don't really pan out, you can still put him in at guard. Like there's still like other mm-hmm, positions. Mm-hmm. Quarterback is such a high stakes draft pick.
Yeah.
And that like if they'd in, and I think what's so tough is every year, I mean, they're saying that this draft is deep. Time will tell. I mean, you think of like drafts in the past, there was, there's a 1 year where it was like Philip Rivers, Eli Manning, and, I think Ben Roethlisberger, like in the same draft. Mm-hmm. And then like the other one, it was like, Jay Cutler and like Matt Leinart who flamed out, but there was like another good quarterback out of that same draft too. You have well, a couple years the where worst, they kind of good quarterbacks yeah, cluster yeah. together. What's tough is, I mean, you don't really know who's who, but what's funny is that almost every one of like those strong quarterback draft classes, there's like three dudes who are like Pro Bowlers, but then there's like one dude who just completely is like shitty.
The ultimate for me was always Ryan Leaf.
Oh yeah.
Is that what year was that? I don't remember. But that
it was the same year as Peyton Manning.
Yeah, he comes in,
and it was like it was this real that I mean, apparently that was like a real draft day decision. Like it was a real coin toss between Peyton Manning or right. Ryan Leaf. I mean, obviously both of them are going to be successful superstars.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan Leaf was going to be a fucking superstar, and you saw him in interviews he fucking Jonathan Martin, but as a quarterback, you know,
sure.
Like he got bullied by the fucking media. He got bullied by the fact that he couldn't that it's not, you know, like, and he buckled. You know, it was that's the worst case scenario, I think. You know, worst
I think
football wise,
sure.
Of having a player just crumble under the pressure when you gambled so much.
I think
them.
That's so tough. And that like, there's a girl who works, there's a girl who works at a comedy club, that I perform at Eastville. Mm-hmm. And her dad was the offensive coordinator for Cal, when Jared Goff was their quarterback. And it was funny. Yeah. So, Tony Franklin. And it was interesting because it's a roundabout way of going to this, but when I was at her wedding, I remember like talking to him, and it was like, this is in between Jared Goff's rookie season that went really shitty and last season that went amazing.
Great. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And it was funny because it was like this dude who's like the coolest dude of all time, like in the history of the world. It's funny. Cause I mean, like he's telling me that like, a lot of Jared Goff's struggles in the NFL, it's just due to like shitty coaching and shit like that. And to be honest, this is a dude who clearly knows a ton about football, but there was definitely part of me while I'm hearing all this where it's like, you're his college coach. You just don't want to accept that this dude just flamed out in the NFL and he's not. And yeah, I mean, he was 1,000,000% right. And I never should have doubted him because he knows a ton more about football than I do.
A little, slightly.
But the thing is, imagine like the mental fortitude it takes to go to the NFL, have like that first season where everything goes shitty.
Everything. Yeah.
And it really was because the coaching staff was so shitty. It really, honestly, we now realize it wasn't his fault.
I'm doing my best.
But the thing is, I mean, it's, you also have a media that's reporting this endlessly and everyone's saying that you're a bust and all this other stuff. And like, think about like the mental fortitude that you need to kind of turn that stuff around.
Yeah.
And
well, first thing
already was a dude who loved football, which helps. Because it's
first things first, delete Twitter.
Yeah.
In the era of Twitter, I guarantee you there would be NFL superstars from the past that would not have been superstars.
Sure.
In the era of Twitter, I mean, it's practically and of the micro scrutiny of NFL combines, of the 24-hour sports news cycle, like the same shit that happens with politicians and the same shit that happens with actors and stuff like that, where it's just like rampant fervor for immediate information.
Yeah.
Like who gets the Twitter scoop on all that that shit, or themselves tweeting something out that could fuck them royally.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when what's his name tweeted from a fake account, or he tweeted in the third person. What basketball player was it that apparently he was using, like he was trying to defend himself online as a third party, but he forgot to switch his account. Yeah. Fuck, who was it? Like, in, like that people made fun of that guy. Like he, if you're not like, like if all you know is football and you don't want to deal with people, like if I'm good at football because I'm not good at dealing with people, that type of person, if you're, you know, like there's, this is a toxic environment. You know what I mean? It is bad.
And that's the thing. I mean,
like even, if you're Ricky Williams,
Ricky Williams was also, was a, what I always thought was so interesting about Ricky Williams was that he was a dude who he, I always loved his interviews because he was always so honest. I remember like after he came back after the whole India weed thing, like they were interviewing him and they were like, you know, like, why did you come back? Like, I mean, like what brought you back to football? And he's like, I have like several kids that I have to pay child support for. And I also like, I owe money to like a lot of people. So, money, I'm back for money. But what's funny is like, he also, he was always
how genuine, how refreshingly honest.
He was so honest, but he also, he was a dude who also like really busted his ass. Like no one, like he, the season that he missed, like for the drug stuff, just because he was kind of like losing interest in the team. But when he was there, I mean, part of why they signed him to extensions, like after he came back with the Dolphins and the other shit, was he was never a dude who phoned it in at practice, even for a dude who transparently football was not his biggest passion.
Weed was.
He still worked incredibly hard.
But I mean, that's one of those things where I like just in the spectrum of public awareness of what weed is now, just from the Ricky Williams days to now. Think about how much, literally CNN had their reporters smoking out of bongs on the New Year's Eve party show. They were literally fucking taking bong rips.
I think that also hurts my view of CNN.
It does, but also, but like, think about,
I mean, as someone who occasionally does take bong rips, still CNN, come on. Get your fucking shit together.
You're not supposed to, I do that. You'd report the news.
Yeah, but like I smoke weed, but like if I go to visit my doctor and he's like, Dave. First thing, I'm going to be real with you. First thing you got to do is chill the fuck out.
If I could recommend you to chill. Oh, also, have you heard my jam band's new demo?
But in answer to your question, yes, you do have cancer. God damn it. You're the worst doctor.
But you can cure it, man. I got these. All this weed just cures cancer. It's the ultimate cure-all.
Or at the very least, it makes you not sweat it so much.
Yeah. You can handle it. But like, think about going back to like the Ricky Williams, but think about even like drug chart, like the drug policies in states where weed is legal.
Yeah.
Like how the fuck, you know, how does it change, vary, you know, especially from someone who is literally performing at a peak level. He was fucking good.
Yeah.
Stoned constantly. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, it's something that we mentioned before, especially like in states where there are states, I mean, Washington and Colorado and more states are passing it all the time.
California.
Raiders are going to be playing out of California. Raiders are going to be playing out of Las Vegas, where Nevada has it legalized. Like at the moment that like Washington and Colorado first legalized it, like the league immediately sent messages to everyone on the Broncos and Seahawks and was like, just so you know, this doesn't change the policy and all this other stuff. You have these players who are loaded up on painkillers all the time because of the chronic pain that is caused by it. And you're just like,
I just want to see, you know, that whole story about Doc Gooden. Who was it that pitched the no hitter while tripping balls on LSD?
I don't think that was Doc Gooden.
Not Doc Gooden. I'm thinking of another name.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, there's a documentary about it.
Yeah, where he pitches a no-hitter, like tripping balls.
Should count as like three no-hitters.
Yeah, he should go like Hall of Fame, immediate Hall of Fame entry. Yeah, but he pitched a no-hitter. I would love to see like an NFL team, the LSD NFL team. Forget about weed. Like, go full. Have them just be tripping balls, calling plays.
Yeah.
I wonder how that would, like, I've never tripped before. I've never done LSD before, but I can only,
I haven't done LSD. I've done mushrooms,
which is fine.
Sure.
But it doesn't encourage you to hit other people, but neither does weed.
No.
So I can only imagine, like,
it's, here's the thing. Like, I think it's, I mean, the reality is a lot of players already do smoke weed.
Of course.
Like in the NFL, but especially like in like the NBA and stuff. NBA's drug testing is hilarious. Like after, I forgot
their
like
drug
exactly
test is what a multiple choice Scantron.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you do drugs? Circle? No. Yeah.
Can I take a written test? Essay. Essay. And if your essay goes on for too long, you fail.
Yeah, yeah.
You get into like a bunch of weird metaphors and they're like, okay, I think we have enough here.
Yeah, we're good.
But yeah, I think that see, again, off season, these are the fun side tangents. This is why you're here.
This is why you're no, you're here for this. Everything else is just buffer. This is what the show's about.
But yeah, it's it seems silly, especially like when you have players whose entire careers are derailed by like positive tests for weed.
For weed. It's like the people who are in jail.
Sure.
And are suffering like huge,
That's a whole different planet where like even the states that legalized it, like Colorado and Washington, the most bad shit insane part of that is the states where they legalized it. If you're in jail in those states on existing possession charges,
right,
those people aren't freed.
No.
Could you even fucking imagine that? Like, no. you're sitting in like a jail cell for something that like you could now like go into a local convenience store and get.
There's some like there's some dude who just got a startup because he's growing he figured out a machine or a way, a process to, and he's making billions of dollars growing and selling weed.
Sure.
And you got, you know, fucking decades of time for possession.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that, sure. Like that's literally the swing has been, that's what I was talking about. Like the CNN thing, sure. Like just public perception being so fucking crazy different.
Sure.
You know, like, especially with these players, like, you know, let's say Baker Mayfield does come to Miami, right?
Yeah.
And let's say he doesn't get like fucking DUI. Who got the fucking DUI? On our team,
TJ McDonald
got a fucking DUI.
Yeah,
that's legal. That's entirely fine. You know, not the DUI, but the alcohol is legal, and sure, and all these things. And they're you're like, you can be a fucking drunk and pop pills, and you can, you know, literally become addicted to opiates.
Sure.
As an NFL player, but you can't fucking, you know, smoke a little weed.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about that in other episodes also. I don't think it's any secret that, like, also with the NFL, with their strong stance on, like, reminding people immediately that weed is still...
Yeah.
Their number one sponsor... This isn't, like, deep conspiracy theory. Number one sponsor of the NFL are beer companies.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't think it's so much about don't do drugs. It's, like, do these drugs. Like, the official drugs of the NFL.
It's a private business. They can... Or technically, it's a nonprofit organization, which is astounding to me. Sure. But the NFL can make their own rules. No, yeah. It's not. This isn't, you know, the governor of Georgia saying that Delta has to allow NRA discounts.
I feel like both of us, like, this is also just such a like a circle jerk of like the same exact opinion. Like, both of us are on the same page of like, it's like just half an hour of like, seriously, it's out of control. But yeah, politically, I think there's so many issues politically where you have two sides of a debate that both make a ton of sense. This isn't one of them.
We're both on the same side.
But yeah,
we're like agreeing with each other. We're like we're like angrily agreeing with each other.
Agreeing. Yeah, it's that definitely is something that needs to change. Jarvis Landry, separate thing.
Oh yeah,
I don't feel like we talked about that enough. So right after we recorded the podcast, they said that they were going to franchise tag him.
By the time
you're listening to this, he has said he's going to sign it. Mm-hmm. As of yet, he hasn't. We assume
that's
he's going
bad
to.
News.
But also, they've given him permission to shop around for a trade deal.
He's going to the Bears, I think.
Yeah, but Bears was the rumor that I heard.
Yeah,
it's. What's so frustrating is this team, we can't get enough defensive ends and defensive line and stuff like that. Jarvis Landry is a dude who has been like one of like the few like real shining spots on our offense.
Right, right. And
look, I mean, they offered him a pretty big contract, which he didn't take because he wants a ton of money. But it's... again, like, you'd have so much more confidence if our front office was like the Steelers or the Patriots, where like every once in a while they'll let a dude go because they're not going to overpay for talent. We are a team who has overpaid for talent at every possible turn. We've given dudes extensions who didn't need them.
Talent in air quotes too, because
sure.
They're not marquee talent.
Yeah. I mean, you've got rare players like Rashad Jones, who's a dude who we've signed to a big contract and paid, who is played up to that contract and then some.
He's earning his money.
But for every story like that of a dude that we signed to big extensions who's playing up to it, there's a lot of dudes who aren't. And it's just, if we're a team that's going to overpay everyone, Jarvis Landry, most receptions for the first three seasons of any player in NFL history.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of, like, so you know how gun nuts, there's like gun nuts who'll spend like a ton of money and they'll always be buying guns, right?
Sure.
The Dolphins are the version of that guy that just buys body armor and security doors. Well, like this, nothing. They won't spend the money on things that will score the points. They'll spend the money on all the defensive things.
What's crazy though, is we're not seeing the results of it.
Because you can't. We're not balancing it out. We're paying money for, like, it's like the Jim Jeffries bit about gun control, where it's sure. like, I don't see you guys standing, you know, taking pictures with your $10,000 security door to keep your house safe.
Yeah.
But you take a picture with your gun. It's like you're focused on the wrong thing. You know, like, it feels like you're like, We need if we're building a defense that can play with a lead.
Yeah,
we need to get that fucking lead first.
Sure.
Like that part to me doesn't feel so complicated. It's not a mystery.
I'm a dude who loves defense. And I think one of the most frustrating things is for as much money as we put into the defensive line, for as much money we brought in Lawrence Timmons, it's not lack of effort. I mean, they definitely, Ndamukong Suh, we're paying through the fucking roof for. But the problem is, I mean, last year I think we were 26 in the league in sacks, and I mean the majority of them were coming from like Cameron Wake. But it's one thing if like you're so overspending on defense, but like you have like a great defense,
right?
Because there were years where that was kind of our team's identity. Where like the Zach Thomas, Jason Taylor times, where like you got like Sam Madison, Patrick Surtain,
offense wasn't doing shit, but our defense was fucking tearing heads off.
Yeah, I mean that's definitely a way to go about it. I mean, that was the Seahawks model for a while, where it was like
Legion of Boom.
Yeah, strong defense, running game. Like you don't have to put up a million points; you can just win low scoring games. What bothers me so much is that it's like we're putting all this money into defense, but it's also, I mean, you were talking before when we were talking about it, about the importance of depth. Mm-hmm. Depth is important, but it's also, you look at like even just the defense, forget about like the offense and all the problems with that, like offensive line, tight end, that we don't have one, and all the problems there.
Right.
There's so many, even on just the defense, linebacker is a nightmare for us. Kiko Alonso, there was Adam Gase really doesn't want to admit this. Like whenever the issue comes up, he doesn't want, because I guess Kiko Alonso had the exact number of tackles last season as he did the season before. So Adam Gase's whole shit is that all the, how horrendous he was against the pass. We, as people watching and Pro Football Focus and everyone else, know, we don't know what the coverage is supposed to be. So we don't know if it was his mistake or it was other people's mistake.
Yeah.
It's coming up enough though, that there seems to be a trend to it. And like, while we don't know on individual plays, teams definitely were targeting him. And so,
oh no, no. He was clearly a huge fucking bullseye for he was definitely the favored pass on a lot of these, especially that game with the fucking Jets, that like they picked him a fucking part. Like they ate him alive.
Sure.
And it happened more than once.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was, I don't know what the numbers were, but clearly the other teams were able to disrupt the entire defense by targeting Kiko.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just, I there's so many holes in the defense. Safety, we're set at. That's the one position we've got under pretty good control.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, TJ McDonald and Rashad Jones, assuming they both stay healthy. I mean, we could still probably use some depth at the position, but at least the starters are good. Linebacking core is kind of a nightmare. Where Lawrence Timmons isn't coming back. So we got Kiko Alonso and
Lawrence Timmons is, you know, he's got his career to his think
CIA
about.
CIA career.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's what I meant.
Of course.
Not his football career.
If you listen to this podcast, but you know the career we meant.
You know the career we meant. Yeah.
But Jarvis though, I mean, bring it back to him. It's hard to see him go. Cause I mean, he's a dude who played with like a lot of fire. And he was a dude who was exciting to watch. Mm-hmm. And that's part of it's like what makes the team good. Cause ultimately the number one thing that makes a team fun to watch is a team that wins.
Yeah.
Obviously. But I mean, he was a dude who, on top of being good and helping the team win, was also just an exciting player. And
well, I will try. I'm going to be more zen about it, or sure, more like mental about it, because what I believe is an enjoyable team. Are we recording?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I saw the light turn off.
Yeah, no worries.
What my thing is, it's not the team that it's that the most enjoyable team to watch is one that scores touchdowns, gets in the end zone.
Another hot take.
No. But like that, what I'm saying is that there's like, like a what the fuck?
We're recording during a blizzard,
that's the first lightning thunder I've ever seen in like a
thunder snow.
This is we're having thunder snow. Holy shit!
Just classic Miami weather.
Yes, yeah. What we're used to.
The Dolphins Dome is in Spanish Harlem. And
the Dolphin Dome. Well, I'm sorry. We got distracted. What I'm saying is that because we were talking about a defense that plays with the lead.
Yep.
That all of it comes from getting in the end zone.
Sure.
It's not about, you know, like, yeah, we had good drives this, you know, fucking we got to the red zone. Yep. We just couldn't punch it in. Scoring a touchdown is immediately redeemable energy wise.
Sure.
So it's winning is the outcome of that, but you win by scoring like touchdowns.
This is a red hot take right now.
What I'm saying is that Jarvis Landry was a touchdown weapon.
Yeah.
Like our if we get a new quarterback, we need a quarterback that has deep ball potential for touchdown, like killing energy. Is basically what keeps teams in leading positions.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that bothers me too. Is if we are bringing in a new quarterback, I think that like, look, Kenny Stills is a good deep threat. He's been pretty good at getting separation, right, getting open.
We've been the arguers that Jarvis Landry, while being amazing, he can be removed, and it's not the end of the world. But the way that it's happening is what's really fucking. But
the problem is Devontae Parker, though. We used a first round pick on him. He hasn't been able to stay healthy. He's also a dude who has always had the physical talents, but has never really kind of played up to him. Mm-hmm. The thing is, to me, if you have like a rookie quarterback or like a young quarterback, I feel like someone like Jarvis Landry is that quarterback's best friend. Like a dude, a dude with super sticky hands who can catch the short routes and stuff like that. I don't think anything helps a young quarterback. I mean, well, one thing that helps a quarterback is in the offensive line that can keep him standing upright.
Right. Yeah.
But I think that as far as offensive weapons go, having like a sure-handed receiver that you can get quick outs,
Your pass doesn't have to be 1,000% perfect.
And I think that was something too that. When Joe Philbin came in, we had to get rid of Brandon Marshall immediately because he had a strong personality, and Joe Philbin had no personality, he didn't have the strength to hold on. But then it's when we got Ryan Tannehill, though. I mean, ultimately Jarvis Landry, I think, kind of filled a similar role that Brandon Marshall did as kind of the possession receiver.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I mean, early in his career. Ryan Tannehill's, I mean, kind of Brian Hartline kind of took that role.
Oh yeah, that's right.
But the thing is, it would have been really helpful for him to have a Brandon Marshall type. And that's one of the things that bugs me about like getting rid of Jarvis Landry, especially now that we're getting a new quarterback, is he's going to need like a go-to dude who he can depend on,
right,
like as a possession receiver. Jarvis Landry, I mean, literally of all the dudes in the entire league.
Yeah,
I mean, right, forget about even just dudes on our team. Jarvis Landry is one of the most helpful people to do that. So it's like the fact that like, not just that we're getting rid of him, but we're getting rid of him right at the exact time where he would be the most useful to like a young quarterback. It's frustrating.
Saying. That's what I'm saying. Like all right, you're right. Any player lifts out, and everybody can be replaced, and then you deal with the consequences afterwards. If Jarvis Landry being a Dolphin is if being a Dolphin is important to Jarvis Landry, I'm sure he's expressed that, because I know for like in interviews and stuff like that, that he's had the opportunity. Didn't he have like he's had other opportunities to be like shitty? And
yeah, I mean, Jarvis Landry, it's for as much as whenever like we get rid of a player like JJ and stuff like that, mm-hmm. I think everyone kind of wants to paint the player that we get rid of as being a villain or like poison to the locker room and stuff like that. Jarvis Landry is a dude who
everybody fucking loves that guy,
even though he's been playing on the second round pick contract this whole time. He never held out of camp. Like he came to camp with the understanding that they were going to sign him to an extension. He has been a dude who pretty consistently has kind of said and done the right things. I mean, look, on the field, there's been times where he gets kind of dumb penalties and does stuff like that. You know, he's a fiery player, but this is a dude who like, I don't like seeing him leave, and it's not. And again, like if there's some bigger picture at play, you could see it, but it's hard to see exactly what that picture is.
It's money that, and also when we're making other calls with to get, you know, fucking Quinn and all these things.
Yeah,
the money we're spending, like it's very much a Miami thing. It's like spending money on shit that will not be good in the like we're doing short term investment shit. We're blowing our money on something.
Sure.
That I don't think will last, especially if we're getting older players or injured people, injury prone people who are off trades and stuff like that.
Sure.
Like our quarterback has had two blown out knees in consecutive seasons.
Yeah.
Like we need to do some, you know what I mean? Like it's build. We need to build. Like we talk about a rebuilding year. The Dolphins' motto should be like, "Oh, it's a rebuilding year."
Sure,
because that's what we're always fucking.
It's been like, a rebuilding century for us.
My God. Well, what you were talking about when Joe Philbin came in. Imagine there was that moment where we could have had Ocho Cinco, you know, running routes for us, and then all that shit happened
before he hit a chick in a smart car.
Before he hit a chick in a smart car. Imagine if he would have been playing and would have not had the opportunity to hit a chick.
But I mean,
I'm not trying to defend it in any way. But I'm just saying, like,
in fairness, though, I mean,
that, Philbin was kind of like a weird, like almost like a not like a like a vacuum.
Ocho Cinco, also in fairness, though, I mean, even just from watching Hard Knocks, I mean, he was definitely on the downslope of his career. Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why
that's where all the talking comes from.
But yeah, I mean, there's a reason why it's not like we cut him and he immediately went on to star in another team and put up crazy stats.
He was a behavior problem first, then a good football player second, on his decline third. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I think that that's kind of a tough thing too, is like when it comes to Baker Mayfield, is that Adam Gase has this feeling like he's like a strong enough leader that he can handle strong personalities and stuff. But I also kind of remember like the last game of the season when they're playing the Bills and it's just like outright fist fights on the field and stuff. And you're like, can you handle strong personalities?
Well, I've been thinking about that a little bit. And I'm at that point, I don't care. I don't, you know, like, yeah, that strong person. What if Gase was just as pissed and wanted to fucking fight too? If the coach, you know what I mean? Like if the coach, like
by the way, I want to get on the record. I'm way in on that.
Yeah. Right. We talk about Dolphins. Like if the coach is fucking pissed.
Yeah.
Then the player should be fucking pissed.
Yeah.
If it was not, and it was definitely a coach who can't control his players, that's another thing. But if passion is the source of those, that energy bubbling up and those mistakes, those aggressive penalties versus stupid penalties, you know what I mean? Like
there were plenty of both.
There were plenty of both, which need to be fixed. That's the discipline part. But passion, I don't think should be restrained enough where if the coach is pissed, if the coach is trying.
Sure. I think one of the differences too, though, is you look at like a lot of teams, the Patriots, I think, are a pretty good example of a team where, obviously we hate their guts and wish only the worst things for them, but they're a team that they'll play chippy and aggressive, but they seem to be able to, with somewhat the help of the referees, be able to do it in a way that's not always penalized. They're able to do it in a way that's smart, where it's like they can do aggressive stuff. And if anything, like bait the other team into making stupid penalties and stuff.
And
I think that's a smart way to be aggressive.
With the officials on the payroll, it's very easy to get those calls.
There's so many times where it's like so many of the quote unquote, like aggressive penalties of the Dolphins are just stupid, like pushing dudes right in front of the officials when you know what's going to get called type shit.
Yeah.
But look, I mean, it's a tough call.
I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it's just frustrating to see such a good player, not just in terms of football skill, but in terms of like for the team.
Yeah.
Like kind of one of these cornerstone players just be devalued by the team.
Yeah.
Which again, I don't know what's happening behind the scenes. Nobody really knows everything that's happening behind the scenes.
Sure.
So it's hard to make those calls, but it just feels as a fan, like it's like, what, this better fucking pay off.
Yeah.
It's like ultimatum shit.
This, yeah. Bigger picture, Robert Quinn. I mean, he definitely has a potential to be, I think he was one of the writers, defensive players of the year early in his career before the injuries got to him as bad. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, look, I mean, another pass rusher. I love an aggressive defense. I mean, I hope that like the defensive coordinator, they are stacked at defensive line. If they can't make it work with all these players, I just don't know what the fuck they're doing. I mean, there's a lot of other holes we got to fill.
We got to give them all brass knuckles or something.
Jarvis Landry. I mean, I don't know. We're already $19 million over the cap. So either contracts need to get renegotiated, players need to get cut. I mean, there's,
what's Tannehill's contract?
Tannehill's contract, I think we can cut him pretty, no strings attached, but I don't think that's where we'd go. I think that the right tackle,
here's what I think.
Juwan James is due like $10 million or something.
Oh,
and
that.
No, of course that's either getting renegotiated or he's going to become free agent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What I'm saying is cut enough people to keep Landry, get rid of Tannehill, burn Baker Mayfield. I want a party. I want a party offense. Landry could keep
honestly
Baker Mayfield in check.
Honestly, after last year's offense was anything but exciting, I'll take a party.
I'm telling you, man, I just want a major league moment. I want our scrappy bullshit team to come together.
This ragtag group. Loners.
Yeah.
Outcasts.
Exactly. I want the replacements, but like of professional football players.
I mean, I think that's kind of the skill level we have.
It's where we're at. Like, why not embrace it? Like, embrace the fuck out of the crazy shit and just encourage the players.
Become like the league's bad boys. Dan like Campbell, the 70s Raiders.
Yeah, yeah. Dan Campbell, this shit. Oklahoma drills. You know what I mean? Like, fucking let's do it.
Yeah.
Get hurt, then fuck off. You know?
I'm all in.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a... The other thing.
I mean the whole other thing. But if they get hurt, fuck off. I don't mean that fuck off.
No, of
part.
Course.
But also, I don't want people to get hurt. But also, here. Yeah, we're all friends.
I don't want anyone to get hurt on the Dolphins.
On the Dolphins, yeah. But I want
everyone else to get hurt.
I want everyone to it's always that feeling of when you that first game of the season that triggers in your mind like fuck we're the Dolphins,
yeah,
is when you can physically see what are they doing differently,
sure,
than we in our practice in play calling in physical in gym work, you know, sure, like strength training,
yeah,
like what are other teams doing,
yeah,
that we are not, that we look like we're fucking it's JV varsity, like
you wish that like our staff and our personnel could just get internships with the Patriots in the offseason and just shadow them.
Like, what are you doing? You know, like, what is the difference? You know?
Yeah.
That's my only, like, there's got to be something. So if we can't figure it out, fuck it. Go balls out. You know, let's go nuts. Let's go have a party.
This, I mean, we talked about management, coaching, our team. The other thing, ownership. This is like a weird, I think this is also just in the off season where it's like searching for a story. Mm-hmm. Steven Ross made some comments that, none of his players were going to be kneeling, that all his players would be standing for the anthem.
Fuck that.
But then like 2 days later, that whole initial story was apparently like kind of misquoted. Basically
he retracted it
wasn't a retraction. Basically it was kind of like just taken out of context to begin with.
Okay.
And by the way, because Steven Ross was initially, I don't know if it was last season or season before, he was like the first owner to come out and publicly support players.
Yeah, I remember
taking political stances. His basically like what he was trying to say, and like what was kind of taken out of context, what he was saying was the political message of taking a knee has, thanks to Trump and like a lot of other people, have made it more about patriotism, mm-hmm, and kind of taken it away from the point that the players were going to make. And so what Steven Ross was saying is that like basically the political effectiveness of that as a stance, he was crystal clear about the idea that like all of his players are free to do whatever they want with the anthem. What he was saying is that like the strategy of it doesn't seem as useful. And of course, like when it comes to stuff like this, the very first thing everyone wants to know is how super rich white dudes feel about it.
Yep.
So of course everyone cares, but it was,
that's how I lived my life.
It was all the stories on both sides of it. It was just kind of like this non-event.
It's literally, where, I'm telling you, it goes back to that whole idea of like the Twitter cycle. This show is kind of, it's different. Like we're fans of these people. Like,
yeah, 100%.
Everything we're saying now is basically us begging and pleading the universe for us to do well, because sure, we love these guys and we want, you know, we support this team.
Yep.
We want the Miami Dolphins idea, that this team that we can get behind, that we've been rooting for since we were little fucking kids.
Sure.
You know what I mean? That idea is where the passion for us comes from.
Yeah.
So it's not like we're trying to be dicks about it, or, but like having the malicious side of Twitter, of sports broadcasting, of writers trying, like, sure, no one ever grows up saying, I want to be a critic when I grow up. No one wants to, like, the sports reporter is not like, that's a great job to have these days.
But yeah,
I'm sure I would take being an actual NFL, NBA, MLB athlete over being the dude that writes about them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, if someone offers me the choice, hands down. So
there are malicious people out there in every aspect of media who are like, I need to get the clicks, I need to get the thing, and Twitter only, and you know, even like all the knee jerk responses of trying to get clicks and like clickbait articles and stuff. It's like, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's also just, I mean, people just need to write articles, and then the off season, there's just not too much. So I think anything,
and we come up with Dolphins Fight Club.
we are not above that.
No, we embrace it fully.
If we were better at clickbait, we would do it more aggressively.
That would imply that we are journalists, which we are not.
Hey, speak for yourself. Citizen journalist, Dave. I take my journalistic integrity very seriously.
You write under the pseudonym Citizen Dave.
I feel like we've pretty well covered the news stories from this week. In upcoming weeks, we got free agency coming up very soon. Mm-hmm. We're going to do a podcast about that. Just whoever like we sign, obviously we got a lot of needs, linebacker, offensive line, corner probably wouldn't be a bad idea. Even though we're looking at drafting a quarterback, I had heard that they might be looking for like a veteran just for some depth.
I don't know.
We'll get more in depth in that. We definitely got plenty to cover in the upcoming weeks between free agency, between the draft coming up.
That's going to be an interesting one.
And then after that, it's going to be more like the Dolphins Fight Club. It's going to be more fun, time filling bullshit.
Yeah.
We'll talk
about the Marlins. Our numbers, maybe.
There's been more listeners since the season ended.
People are hungry for Dolphins shit.
Guys are listening to this. Yeah. You are enjoying listening to our bullshit, our passionate side rants about weed legalization.
Whatever. You want to know the funny part about that? I don't even smoke pot.
No,
I don't even drink anymore.
I think that's the point.
Think it's fucking bullshit.
I think that it was like 10 or 20 years ago, everyone you know who was making that case, everyone who was in normal and stuff like that, was always like
the legalize it.
Yeah, it's the dude in the tie-dye t-shirt who's like just finishing a game of hacky sack.
Yeah,
who's kind of coming over. But I think that it's the kind of thing where like, yeah, it's kind of across the board. Because honestly, like, even if you're like a hardcore conservatives are like people who are like, let's spend as little government money as possible, small government, and spending billions of dollars to forget about the moral cost of locking people in cages for having a plant. But I mean, literally, it's over, I forgot like the exact number, but it's definitely over $1 billion.
Yeah, it makes
like spent on pure possession.
Anyone who's looking at it logically and not as I don't even know what would it be, like religious. I don't even know what would it be. What's the argument against fucking pot?
Again, we couldn't be more on the same page. Hey, if you have a different take, if you have a counter opinion,
definitely about hit weed us up. Or the Dolphins.
We want to hear from you.
Yeah.
End of the episode, what do you want to plug?
Every Thursday night at the Creek in the Cave in Long Island City, Queens, you can come and be on Unsung Heroes, which is the live offshoot open mic podcast thing.
Sure.
It's zerosonheroes.com, at zerosonheroes on all social media. That's the feed. And there might be some new shows coming up on that feed also. But we have interview shows, the Zeros on Heroes proper is the interview show. Yep. Unsung Heroes every week comes up the day after the show on Friday, so you can listen to it. If you're not in the New York area, you can still be a part of it.
Sure.
And there might be some new stuff coming because we're recording now. We've got studio space at the Creek Media
nice.
Studios with the Creek in the Cave. So lots of stuff to look forward to there.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. Look, we badly want to hear your opinions on legalized marijuana. We're on Twitter at Saving the Fins, PHINS. So this is just a good follow in general. If you're listening to this, you probably wear the website, savingthedolphins.com. Definitely check in on that. And I'm on Twitter at David Kinney, K-I-N-N-E-Y.
And if we survive this thunder snow, you'll hear more from us at Saving the Fins.
Thanks for listening. Tell friends, subscribe, all that good stuff.
Click that share button. That's fun.
Fins up.
Fins up.